The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. John was baptizing those that had repented. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." John knew they were hypocrites and had no intention of obeying God and had no intention of repenting of sin and changing their life. This is telling us that you must repent and begin to turn around before you are baptized for the remission of sin. You have to bear some fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think, he goes on here in verse 9, "And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." Speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day, "For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." John was saying, don't think that you are something special because you are of the lineage of Abraham. You must repent, whoever you are. You are a sinner until you repent. And that's what John was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees at this time. Going on here in verse 10, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Christ is trying to tell us something here. He's telling us that sometimes in our life, whether it's this life or after the second resurrection, when you're resurrected and have a life again, that if sometime you don't repent, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, what does God mean here when he says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire? Well, we'll explain this as we go on. "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." In other words, God says if you don't repent sometimes in your life and receive his Holy Spirit and begin to walk with God, begin to obey God and to continue to obey God until you die, he says that you will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what it means to be baptized with fire. You are going to be burned up. Yes, God says unless you repent of breaking God's law and continue to live by them, that you will burn to death in hell fire. But before you are baptized, Christ tells us to count the cost of changing your life and obeying God, because at baptism, you are entering into a covenant with God and Christ, an agreement that you are turning your life over to God. God said, once you have taken hold of the plow and looked back, that you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Repentance precedes baptism, my friend, but repentance should lead you to baptism. At that point, you are clean, you are cleansed, you are washed clean of all your sins at the point that you are baptized. God wants you to realize that what you are signing up for before you make the covenant with God, God doesn't break his word and he doesn't expect you to either. You would be walking on dangerous ground if you do. Notice what God has to say here in Luke 14, beginning in verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father," or it means to love less, "his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You can't let anything come between you and God, that is, if you want to be his disciple. Going on here in verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross," that is, take up his burdens, "and come after me cannot be my disciple," meaning to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Let nothing separate you from the love of Christ, as Paul tells us in Romans 8. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not set down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient funds to finish it?" Yes, you must be committed and determined to follow Christ, no matter what the cost, is what Christ is saying. "Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." God is saying if you start out walking with him, if you repent and come to baptism, know and realize what you are getting into. There is no turning back, because at that point you may just commit the unpardonable sin that God cannot forgive. and you will be thrown into the lake of fire. That would be your fate. So God said, be sure that you count the cost, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000, or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? God is stressing the point that once you commit yourself and turn yourself over to God, God is saying you can't let anything disturb you or separate you from God. Yes, accepting Christ is much more than just confessing Christ. He goes on here in verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What good is it? Christ is asking the question. What good is it? So what good would you be once you started to follow God and you turn around and you go back the way and to where you came from? As God tells us in another place, that if you do that, says you're like the sow going back to her wallowing in the mire, getting all dirtied up with the sins and the filthiness that you just left, and you're like the dog that returned to his vomit. Verse 35, continuing to talk about the salt here, it is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, talking about the salt here, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Yes, Christ is saying, be sure that you hear and you understand. When you come to repentance and baptism, know and realize what you are signing up for. Yes, God and Christ want you to understand that when you are called by God the Father and you reject the call, or even if you heed the call and repent, that if you turn back, you will be cast out. Wouldn't be a good position to be in. Notice in Matthew 11, beginning verse 20, then he began, speaking of Christ here, to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works has been done, because they did not repent. My friends, you need to consider what Christ is saying here. For most of the preaching and the publishing of God's word over the years since this nation has been founded has been in the United States. Have we repented? Have you repented? I'm sure that you have heard a repentance message and you have heard a warning message. As a matter of fact, I've been preaching it for several years myself. And if you've been listening to me, you have heard that. You have heard it from others as well, and you have read publications that publish such. But have we repented? Now notice what Christ goes on to say here. It says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now is God saying the same to the United States? Because there have been some mighty works done in the United States. God's word has filled this nation time and time again, and it still is. And I ask again, have we repented? But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And I've been telling you on this program, on this series of programs, that there's a time that you're going to be judged. How tolerable will it be for you? How tolerable will it be for this nation? And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. How tolerable, I ask again, how tolerable will it be for our nation in the day of judgment? You need to think about that, my friends. You need to ask yourself, how tolerable will it be for me in the day of judgment? Because, as I said, God's word has been preached and published time and time and time again, has filled this nation time and time again. The truth of God has been going out and is still going out. You're hearing it today. What have we done with it? Have we repented? Have we returned to God? Are we fed up with our ways? Do we see the direction that we're headed? Do we see the problems that we have caused and the problems that is coming on our land? Verse 25 continues, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Yes, babes in mind and attitude that know they need help and know they need God's grace and aren't ashamed to ask for it and to receive it, and that aren't too proud or stubborn to obey, aren't too proud and too stubborn to humble themselves before God and repent. My friends, unless we, this nation, the United States of America, repent, we won't remain either. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon didn't remain, we won't remain either. God tells us in many places in His Word that we will be taken captive unless we humble ourselves and repent, turn to God. Are we going to do that? Will we do that? Said you personally can and should repent and rend your heart to God. If you want to change your life, if you are fed up with bringing problems on self and others, if you're unhappy or discontented and you want to seek God and His way, then God is calling and leading you to repentance. Don't run from God. Don't run from your Maker. You are asking for trouble if you do. God commands all to repent of sin, which is the breaking of God's law in the spirit and the letter. You can have the joy of salvation if you will. If you want it, God is offering it to you. As I said, if you are wanting to obey God, if you're wanting to turn your life around, God is offering you the joy of salvation. He is leading you to repentance. Your life can and should be a lot better and will be if you wholeheartedly repent and begin living the way God requires and commands. You will have to do that someday. Yes, you will have to repent and live the way that God requires someday, or you will be burned to death in the lake of fire. Why not do that today and save yourself a lot of problems and be on the road to eternal life and be living within the bounds and in the joy of salvation and be in on the ground floor of the kingdom and the government of God, which will be established on this earth and very soon now. There are big dividends in repenting and turning your life over to God. And the sooner, the better for you and your neighbors. A true Christian is truly a light. Repent and be one, and avoid the calamities that's coming on this earth, and the calamities that we already see that we're living in today, in this nation and around the world. If you would like more understanding about this topic, we invite you to request our free articles, What Do You Mean Repent and What Does God Require? That's the articles, What Do You Mean Repent and What Does God Require? By calling the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675. That's 573-238-3675. Or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. That's thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program daily on some stations and weekly on others. Have a good day, my friends, and may God help you to see and understand that you do need to repent and change your life and begin to enjoy the joy of salvation.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.